I'm Billy. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome, everyone. Good to see everybody. Two quick things before we go into tonight's chapter. The first is, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in service and traditions and God knows what else. And sometimes, or we get caught up in being such experts in the first legacy, that, you know, we just talk about the negative or what we don't like or whatever else. And sometimes we don't talk about the great examples that are out there every day in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, one recently came to me. I just wanted to share it with you because it was just so amazing to read this. And sometimes I think, you know, it's hard to stand up for any of our 36 principles. But I believe in the end, that, you know, God has our back. But I just want to read this. This was sent to a friend of mine. I'm obviously not going to use any names or locations that would disclose it, but it was a short note. It just said, I never told you of my recent Tradition 5 experience when I was in blank last month. I had been visiting my aunt and uncle, and I went to an AA meeting near where they live. After the meeting, I went over to this young woman to talk with her. She just looked like she was having a difficult time. I felt compelled to. She then asked me to sponsor her. We went to my car and we went through the doctor's opinion. Nope on page 21, nope on page 44, nope, nothing. I then asked her, did someone send you here and what brings you to an AA meeting? She said, well, yeah, they just said to say I'm an alcoholic and I'll be fine. But I'm not an alcoholic. She said, I'm a meth addict, not an alcoholic. I said, great, because there's a fellowship called CMA. We found one, and I went with her as a non-CMA observer. I introduced myself as such and was silent and respecting that fellowship's fifth tradition. She identified, exclamation point. She got that magic of me too. She found a recovered CMA as a sponsor. The primary purpose of any AA group is to carry the AA message to alcoholics. Experience with alcohol is one thing we have in common. It is misleading to hint or give the impression that AA solves other problems and knows what to do about drug addiction, page 18 of the group pamphlet. This young woman, 20 years old, had been dying in Alcoholics Anonymous because she could not identify. Out of 30 people in that meeting, I had been the only one that took the time to talk with her. When I saw her identify, it was like the lights came on in her eyes. I was filled with so much joy because of that. And at the same time, my heart was breaking because no one else took the time to talk with her. If I'm ever not willing to do that, then I am certainly not being of maximum service to God and those about me. Not only is it the right thing to do, it's my responsibility. Am I being a follower in Alcoholics Anonymous or a leader? Am I following the crowd or am I leading by example? Very important questions. I'm so grateful this is not an All Addictions Anonymous. If it were, certainly I would not be here today. Getting non-alcoholics to the right fellowship so they can recover and being an observer is such a beautiful thing to experience. She called me today and has 30 days. I am overwhelmed with joy. What a great, great note to see. The other thing I want to say is this. I know we're here tonight to talk about Chapter 6, about the General Service Conference. But I just want to make a quick public service announcement. There could be some GSRs or DCMs here tonight. There's a good chance. If you are, I would remind you that today's date is February 16th. I would also then remind you that your delegate, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, in 9 weeks, your delegate will go to the General Service Conference, which starts basically on April 24th, 2022. So if you're a DCM or a GSR, your most important job between now and then is to get a copy of that conference final agenda, to talk with your delegate and DCM about the background material, maybe get a copy of it if they do that in your area, and to find the things on that agenda that your group is really going to want to give some input on. They're not going to want to give input on everything, and you don't have that kind of time. But there are certain things in that final conference agenda that your group is going to find interesting. and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you have 9 weeks, and your assembly, or whatever you call it in your area, pre-conference event, mini conference, whatever, is probably in more like 6 or 7 weeks, at the very beginning of April. So that you're down to 6 weeks. Now, don't drive your delegate or your district chair or whoever crazy. Final agenda came out last week. Background material will come out this week. It usually comes out the week of the 15th. The delegate needs to compile it and get it in an order that they want to send it out in. But I would imagine in the next week, the background material will be flying around. So I just wanted to throw that announcement out. The other thing I wanted to say is just that I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that when we get to certain chapters, we're going to have a real live person who served in that position actually talk for 15 to 20 minutes and share their highlights of that position. That might every once in a while throw off a date because some of the people we want to use, the dates could be very fluid. So you might show up here one night and we might say we're doing chapter 9, but we might say, well, tonight we're hearing from a trustee at large. I can tell you that in the next couple of weeks, the new general manager of GSO has agreed to come in to our little party on Wednesday nights, and is going to share about the chapter of the General Service Office and what it's like to be the general manager of GSO. Because that is a very busy job and a busy schedule and a lot of travel and a lot of other things. Whatever Wednesday he can do, I'm just going to fill it and grab it. So that could be last minute. So don't email me or text me or anything else about wanting to know when the general manager is going to be here, because it's going to be a last minute thing when his schedule allows it. So chapter 6, the annual General Service Conference. For anybody who's new to service, you should just know that the last two General Service Conferences were virtual. That would be the 70th. And the 71st General Service Conference. Now, we've gone over this before, but if you're not familiar with the panel, why is this the 72nd General Service Conference? Because there's been 71 before it. And why are we at 72? Because it started in 1951. So the new delegates elected to be first-year delegates this year, a panel 72. The second-year delegates are the delegates that were at last year's conference, panel 71s. I have not seen the kind of layout of the program for this year's General Service Conference. We have the final agenda, but then there's the list of what goes on every day. I am sure after 2 years virtual, there's going to be some changes this year. I would have no doubt about that. So what I'm going to walk you through is the last in-person General Service Conference, because it's going to be pretty close to that this year. And just so you understand what it's like before we go through the book, what is your delegate really up to? How much of a time commitment is it? On April 22nd, which is a Friday, a lot of delegates will get to town on in normal days on Thursday night. And a decent amount of delegates will go to the 11 a.m. meeting at the General Service Office, which hasn't happened in a long time on Fridays. But a good amount of delegates do come in early and go to that meeting. That is not an official day of the conference. If any of you happen to be in New York City, and I think the office is going to open up in the next 2 months, find out if that meeting at 11 o'clock on Friday is going on. Stop by the office, meet the people who work there, say thank you to all of them, and go on the tour, go into the archives. It'll change your whole perspective. Just getting off that elevator and seeing the Serenity Prayer in a whole bunch of different languages will blow you away once you get off the elevator. On Saturday, there is an unofficial part of the General Service Conference, but we have it every year now. So it's kind of become unofficially official. And that is the remote communities meeting. And a couple of delegates are chosen to be chair or co-chair. And there's usually three presentations each year from a delegate who has a very vibrant remote community committee in their area. On Saturday night, the delegates go to a delegates only dinner. That is just the delegates, no guests, no trustees, no staff, no directors, just the delegates. The number one rule for that meeting is that conference business cannot be discussed at that meeting. That is not a meeting to discuss conference agenda items. It's not a meeting to lobby. It's not a meeting to do anything like that. It's more to give an orientation for the first year delegates and welcome them and share some helpful hints about the week. On Sunday is the real start of the General Service Conference. And there'll be one nuance this year, definitely, that's going to happen, and I'll get to that. But the first thing that happens is roll call. Is everybody who is a voting member of the General Service Conference will go to a room. It might not be the actual General Service Conference room, but it will be a room. And the chairs of the General Service Conference, which are usually the general manager, the chair of the General Service Board, and the delegate chair. They will open up that meeting and they will take roll call. There's usually around 135 voters. How do I get to that number and say about 135? 93 delegates, 21 trustees, 6 non-trustee directors, and give or take 15 GSO and Grapevine staff voting. Sometimes a very new member of the Grapevine or GSO staff won't vote. If they're in their first couple of months, they won't be a voting member. But every name is called out, and every person who is there has to acknowledge and say they are present or here. At that meeting, they will also do some general housekeeping. They will talk about the rules of the road for the week. They will talk about if any observers have been approved to attend the conference. Observers usually mean a representative or two of another general service structure around the world that sent one or two people because they want to watch the U.S. General Service Conference because it's been going on for so long. They will also announce who will be the people in the room at the General Service Conference that are not necessarily voters, but will be there. That will be people like trustees emeriti. The past chairs of the General Service Board are invited to attend the conference. The archivist at GSO is not a voting member of the conference, but is there to be a reference if anything is needed. The publishing director of the General Service Office will be there. That is not a voting position as well. There will be various staff assistants that will be there. There will be translators that will be there. Most of the time, French and English. I've never seen an American Sign Language translator, but one of the reasons I'm so excited about American Sign Language at this service manual study is I will be a happy guy if I get to live long enough that an American Sign Language translator is needed at the General Service Conference. That would really make my day. So we approve all those observers. Every once in a while, because it is technically an AA business meeting, all hell will break loose at the roll call meeting. There might be somebody who is not happy with something that was decided leading up to the conference. It could have been an agenda item that didn't make it. It could have been a decision made by the trustees. In a couple of years ago, it was over a poll that was taken of the General Service Conference members during the year. And every once in a while, something like that breaks out and there's discussion and motions and those things are resolved. But that's really all the roll call meeting is. After roll call is when we have the joint committee meetings. So what are the joint committee meetings? So I was on the Public Information Committee when I was a delegate. So that's the meeting on Sunday afternoon where the delegates on the conference committee meet with the trustees on the trustees committee of their corresponding trustees committee. So for me, I met with the Public Information Trustees Committee. My committee met with them. And that meeting, no decisions are reached either. That decision is informational only. What happens at that meeting? Well, a lot of times the trustees will explain why certain things didn't make it to the conference agenda. You can ask your delegate, but there is a document. It's an Excel spreadsheet that tracks every single item sent in to be on the agenda. And it clearly states what happened to that item. Did it get sent to the conference? Did it get taken care of because it didn't need to go to the conference? But a lot of times at that meeting, we will discuss what items didn't make it to this year's conference. And then there'll be discussion about this year's agenda items, but not discussion leading to any kind of debate or vote. It's a place for the delegates to ask the trustees committee questions about their agenda items. Maybe the trustees had a subcommittee working on something for a couple of months or a year. Maybe there's some background material that referred to something that that trustees committee did in the past or did in the recent past. So that's really a question where the conference committee can ask questions of the trustees committee. And it is truly a joint meeting. It is held in a small meeting room. The chair of the conference committee and the chair of the trustees committee both sit at the head of the table. It is a true joint meeting. Obviously, there's a lot of committees. And there's only 21 trustees, and a lot of trustees sit on multiple committees. So for trustees, it's kind of like the best example I've heard is like when you go to parent-teacher night, but you have four kids, and you got to like, you don't have the luxury of just like going to one classroom. You have to like juggle between two, three, four classrooms because you got four kids between kindergarten and eighth grade, and you're just doing the best you can. Well, that's kind of like what it is when you're a trustee on multiple trustee committees. The chair has to be at the joint meeting, but the other trustees on those committees try to go. Now, what is the nuance I'm talking about this year? This year is the first year of the equitable work distribution plan. So that means there are some agenda items that are on different committees than they normally would be on, so that the work is more evenly spread. So this means that this year, just take the corrections committee, for example, there's a literature item on their committee. So someone from the literature committee is going to have to go to the joint meeting of corrections to be there to answer questions, somebody from the trustees literature committee. So just a little wrinkle that makes this year a little better, but change is good. And, you know, it's a trial period and we'll see what happens. But that is what the joint meeting is all about. After the joint meetings, which take place in the afternoon on Sunday, there is a break. And then Sunday night is the opening conference dinner. The opening conference dinner is attended. That's the one place where delegates, a guest of a delegate or a trustee or a staff member or a director, is allowed to come to the opening dinner. Retired GSO staff are invited to the opening dinner. Past trustees are invited to the opening dinner. And that opening dinner then has a speaker meeting right after dinner. And there's usually five speakers, 10 minutes each. And just so you know, there really is three light bulbs on the podium of the General Service Conference for the speaker to see all week. Green meaning you're good, yellow meaning you're about to have your microphone shut off, and red meaning your microphone is shut off. So you get 10 minutes, five speakers. It's usually like two to three delegates, a staff member, and a trustee who speak each year. And then that dinner happens. And then that's kind of when the party's over, really. All the tables get packed away, all the round tables, and all the classroom tables come out. And all the classroom tables are set, and the podium is set. And the very next morning, which would be Monday, that is the first time the conference committees will meet at 9 o'clock Monday morning. Now, if you are a committee that has a real heavy workload, you might have decided to meet earlier at 8. But most committees will start at 9 o'clock. That is just the conference committees, along with the secretary of the conference committee, which is the staff member assigned to that assignment. So if you're the corrections conference committee, it's the 9 delegates on that conference committee and the person who handles corrections at the general service office. The secretary of the conference committee is not a voting member and is not there to give opinion. They're there to take minutes, to document recommendations and additional considerations. And if a committee thinks they need some kind of information from somewhere else in GSO, the secretary can obtain that for them. The conference committee's first day is from 9 to noon on Monday, just the conference committees. At that time, trustees, directors, and staffs do not have an assignment, although some of the staff members will be serving as conference committee secretaries. There might be a trustees committee or a corporate board committee that is having a meeting during that time because they have the time and they're all together in New York. On the afternoon of Monday, that is when the 3 corporations give their reports. So after lunch, everybody gathers in the main conference room, no longer in small meeting rooms. And the chair of the General Service Board will give a report of the General Service Board's activities. The chair of the AA World Services Board will give a report, and the chair of the Grapevine Board will give a report. Now, they could change the lineup a little bit, but for a long time, it's been that way. In some shape or form, that'll happen this year, whether it's Monday or Tuesday afternoon. The treasurer of the General Service Board will also give a report. That's become known as AA finances around the picnic table, where the General Service Board finance chair will really dig into the details of what makes up the numbers at GSO, the whole shooting match. The General Service, the AA World Service publishing operation, General Service Board contributions, and Grapevine. That night, there's a couple of things that could happen. Depends on the night that they decide to do them. There'll be another delegates-only dinner one night. If you recall, or if you've read, or if you've heard about it, there are 2 secondary committees for the conference. That is archives and international conventions and regional forums. So what does it mean that it's a secondary committee? It means that about 18 delegates serve on 2 committees. They serve on one of the primary committees, and they've been asked to serve on archives or international conventions and regional forums. Those secondary committees usually meet at night during dinner and do their work. That's how they do their work on those committees and those agenda items. At night, there might be a panel discussion on one of the topics of the conference or a workshop. It'll probably end around 9 o'clock at night. And the next morning at 9 o'clock, conference committees will meet again. That is the last day conference committees meet. Again, from 9 to 12, although as we talk about the equitable work distribution plan, we had some committees that were getting up and meeting at 7 o'clock. We had some committees that were meeting from 10 o'clock at night to midnight on Monday night, and then meeting again on Tuesday night. So hopefully this new plan will alleviate some of that. Conference committees are supposed to finish up their work by noon on Tuesday. And what does finish up their work mean? That means they've gone over every agenda item. there might be some they take no action on. They just do not approve any recommendation. There might be some where they've been asked to review things, where they give an additional consideration and say, we reviewed it and would ask you to look at this, this, and this during the next year. And a conference committee might have recommendations. Recommendations is the strongest thing a conference committee can do. It means that they want to present it to the floor of the entire General Service Conference for a vote to become an advisory action. Staff prepares all those documents. What are the recommendations that the committee made? The last business of the committee is to elect the chair. So remember, you have 9 people usually in that room besides the secretary. Half are first-year delegates and half are second-year delegates. Everybody gets a vote for chair, but only the first-year delegates are eligible to be selected because they're the only ones that'll be here next year. The second-year delegates will have rotated out. That is a majority vote. It's not their legacy usually. Whoever gets the most votes is chair. Whoever gets the second most votes is vice chair, alternate chair. We then go to lunch on Tuesday. Tuesday afternoon, there might be a presentation by a trustee at large from the United States or Canada on international. What's going on international during the year? I would imagine this year there might be a presentation on technology and virtual meetings and groups and what's going on around the world still virtually as we're 2 years later into this thing we call the pandemic. There might be a presentation by the Grapevine editor or the chair of the Grapevine board about what's going on at the Grapevine right now, separate from the corporate report. The reports on Monday are the actual reports of that corporation for the year. General Service Board, AA World Services, and the AA Grapevine. On Tuesday night, there might be a delegates-only dinner. There might be a dinner for everybody. The Grapevine Board and AAWS will each have a meeting during dinner, during the week. Could be Tuesday, could be Thursday. Not a lot of business is conducted at that meeting. We say goodbye to the directors who are rotating off. Usually there'll be a regional trustee and a general service trustee who is no longer going to be a member of the AAWS or Grapevine Board. If you are hold on 1 second. I thought I put it in reach of me, but I didn't. So I'm just going to go grab it. If you are rotating off one of the corporate boards, like I rotated off of AAWS, you will get a leather bound 12 and 12 like this with your name on it. And then on the inside will be notes where people just say nice things about you who voted against everything you wanted. But that's just a joke. But yes, this is how we pass on and rotate. It's a treasured possession of mine for sure. The other thing we do at night on Wednesday night, well, I'll start with Wednesday. I know it's hard to picture, but I can try to paint a picture. Tuesday night reading into Wednesday morning, you will start to get packages of information. And those are the results of each conference committee meeting. So for every conference committee that met, the delegate will get a packet of information. And in that packet of information will be the advisory actions that they recommend, the recommendations they're recommending, and will be their additional considerations. They don't all come out at once because it's a lot of stuff to get done with like 24 hours notice. And to get it all through a computer and printed out and sorted out and everything else. But on Wednesday, we will start report backs from the committees. And how does that look? I'll give you my experience as a chair of a conference committee. I was chair of the Public Information Committee. The chair of the conference calls you up to the podium. The first thing you do is read your whole complete report, start to finish. Start with advisory actions and then additional considerations at the end. None of that is debatable. As soon as that is over, as soon as you've finished reading it, every recommendation on a committee report is considered a made motion and seconded. So then the chair of the conference committee will read each recommendation one at a time. And after the recommendation is read, debate will open up on the floor and we work our way towards a vote. As you know, advisory actions take a 2/3 vote of the conference members in attendance. So I'll just do some quick math. Basically means you need 90 yes votes for an advisory action to pass. As you know, we love the minority opinion. And every once in a while, there is an addition, there is a motion made to reconsider. And sometimes those reconsider motions pass, and then discussion opens up again. It's important to know that on the second vote, once it gets to a vote, that's it. There is no reconsideration after a second vote, and it can't be brought up later as a floor action if it was already debated and voted on twice during the conference. Once the committee chair gets through all their recommendations, then the body is allowed to ask questions about additional considerations. Additional considerations are not debatable, but they don't instruct the General Service Board to do anything. It's a way to give some feedback. An example would be if a piece of literature is being developed and it's not ready yet, but they showed the committee where they were, as far as like what does this pamphlet currently look like, or what does this new book currently look like, the committee will pass on a message and an additional consideration. It'll say, reviewed with gratitude the current draft of whatever it is. And they might give a little suggestions like, please please add this, or please watch out for this. Or they might say, get more stories. They might say that. They might say, there's a lot of things, but what they're not doing is not giving an order that is binding on the General Service Board. And I know order is a strong word, but I want to read another one. Hold on, just give me a second. It could be just some advice for the trustees. I'm just trying to find something in my notes right now. But here's what I would suggest. When you get this year's conference report, read the additional considerations and you will see clearly how different they are than an advisory action. They're not instructive or directive at all. On Wednesday afternoon are trustee elections. So those are regional or U.S. and Canada trustee at large positions. The regional trustee elections, will get to the real formality when we get to that section of the book of how they're elected. But it's basically the conference committee on trustees, the trustees nominating committee, and the delegates from that region. They will sit in a roped off area because they're the only ones voting for that particular position. For Trustee at Large Canada and Trustees at Large US, it's obviously those delegates from that country. And then the nominating committee from the trustees and the conference committee on trustees. On Wednesday night, the trustees have a dinner and the delegates have a dinner. At the dinner, the trustees will, not the trustees who are rotating, but the trustees who are staying for another year, at least, that's their place to say goodbye to the trustees that are leaving. And so we go around the table and everyone shares a little bit about each trustee that is leaving. On Thursday, more debate, more committee reports, Friday too. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is kind of the heart of the General Service Conference. When you think about what you've heard about recommendations and discussions and votes and minority opinions and motions to reconsider and long debates, that is Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at the conference. We like the conference to be over by about 5 or 6 o'clock on Friday afternoon, but often they go to 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. On Friday afternoon, at the end of the conference or Friday night, each delegate that is rotating will say a minute or two about their experience at the conference the last 2 years. And everybody stays for that. Usually all meetings at the General Service Conference, well, every meeting at the General Service Conference I've ever been to has been closed with a prayer. Certain meetings at the General Service Conference, and for sure the one on Friday, is closed by the prayer in French, English, and Spanish at the same time. Saturday morning, that there is a brunch, although maybe I was just too young when I was there. It's at 9 o'clock, which to me, that's breakfast. But hey, I was much younger than the rest of the people I was with. But there is a breakfast. And then the trustees who are rotating will give a talk. Oh, and you know what? I forgot something too. I'm going to go back to it. Let me write myself a note. The trustees who are rotating, whether it's two of them or four of them or five of them, will each give a rotation talk in front of all the members of the General Service Conference. The one thing I forgot to mention in the roll call meeting is one person, usually a trustee, will give a keynote address at the start of every General Service Conference. It is published in the conference report. It is delivered live there at the opening meeting, at the roll call meeting. And usually what I like about reading the keynotes in past conference reports is you can kind of tell what's going on in AA at that time. If you read last year's and the year before, you no doubt hear lots of things about virtual and electronic and how well AA weathered the COVID-19 storm. But there is a keynote talk that's given at every General Service Conference. Every once in a while, they might have some kind of person from our history give the keynote talk. After the brunch, when everybody hugs and says goodbye, the delegates are now done for the week. And they get what's called an early bird copy of Box 459. And it basically has a lot of the recommendations that were passed on it so that the delegate can pass that on to their area quickly. The actual recommendations and additional considerations that were passed as advisory actions, those will be prepared in the next week and sent out. But there are three more meetings after all the delegates are done. The General Service Board gets together first. And that is the old General Service Board, the ones that just attended that conference. And if you have no idea how important rotation is, you know, when people think I got to stay, no one else is going to do it. Probably the greatest vote I ever took part in was electing my successor as a trustee. Raising my hand, knowing that I'm out. And by the way, just so if anyone tries to tell you about is rotation gradual? No. By the time I got to LaGuardia Airport, my passwords to the trustees dashboard were done, over, gone. You are rotated. But the first thing we do at that meeting is we read every conference advisory action into the minutes of the General Service Board, because those are binding instructions on the General Service Board. They're not debatable anymore. Then the General Service Board will hear its auditor's report. They will probably vote to approve their auditor for next year at that meeting. There is very minimal business. But remember, the elections that took place at the conference, the ones on Wednesday, those are spiritual elections. The General Service Board, Inc., the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, Inc., is a legal entity. So the board, inside a board meeting, needs to hold the legal side of those elections to elect those regional trustees and trustees at large that were just elected. And the trustees conference committee, the conference trustees committee, will have prepared a whole slate with all 21 names of the trustees. And that's what I voted on. And David N. from California took my place. And just so you know, when that meeting was closed and the chair opened up a new meeting of the General Service Board, that same like 2 minutes later, I got up from the podium and went to the visitor from the table and went to the visitor section. I think if I can do this quickly, just give me 1 second, because I don't want to deprive anyone of anything. And I did just pull some pictures. I might have to show them next week. I just downloaded them from the cloud because I have so many from. Let's see. All right, I'll have them all in one place next week. Then each rotating trustee is called from the visitors section up to the front of the room and is given one of these. So that is a leather-bound blue big book with my name on it. And so every trustee has written inside of it, and I have in the back of it my rotation talk. And I gave the keynote address that year. So that is in my big book that I treasure for sure. Very proud to have served, glad I'm served, but proud I served and glad I rotated. And that David took my place and probably did a better job than me. Then the boards elect the directors. The General Service Board elects the 9 people who are going to be directors on AAWS and the Grapevine. And then the Grapevine and AAWS boards have a meeting and they elect their officers for the next year. their chair, vice chair, president, secretary, assistant secretary, treasurer, and assistant treasurer. That is the week of the conference. A couple of things I just wanted to go over about the conference is reporting back. You know how I just said at the start of this session tonight that the GSR and DCM's number one job is the next 6 weeks. Like, you might have lots of other great things you do as a GSR. I'm not taking that away from you. There's probably people here who are much better GSRs than I was. You probably have done an amazing job. But at the end of the day, your most important job is the next 6 weeks, is to bring your group's feedback and conscience on agenda items. Now, the delegates' most important job starts when they leave that conference. Their job is to report back, and reporting back has become an art, and it's done in all different ways. I can tell you that in the early 90s and mid 90s and leading up to the 2000, 2001, delegate report backs were not that long. People waited for the conference. They would read the agenda, the advisory actions, maybe take a few questions. And then the conference report usually comes out every August in French, Spanish, and English. Technology has changed that a lot. PowerPoint has changed that for sure. The ability to show pictures of what the conference room looks like, of what the dinner looks like, of maybe the trip to Stepping Stones or whatever. But at the end of the day, and I know sometimes, you know, I'm not trying to be hard on anyone or anything else. I'm just passing on what was passed on to me. Now, I grew up in New York, so I'd already been to Stepping Stones. But it's nice that the delegates get to go to Stepping Stones. But that's not their job and why they were sent to New York. And it's nice that they go out to coffee with their region. And that's nice, too, and a lot of fun. And you know, this year, the General Service Conference is moving to Brooklyn, about maybe a five-minute walk from 182 Clinton Street, where Bill and Lois lived and where the burning mattress went out the window and where Ebby came and met with Bill. That's right around the corner. But there's a diner in New York called Ellen Stardust Diner, right across the street from the Crown Plaza Hotel. And if anybody knows anything about Ellen Stardust, most of the young men and women that work there came to New York to become famous on Broadway or in opera or some art regarding music. And so in the middle of Ellen Stardust Diner, it is not uncommon for your waitress or waiter to all of a sudden be belting out a show tune like better than you've ever heard it. Now that's nice, but that's not why delegates go to New York. So for report backs, sure, it's nice what the room looked like, what the hotel looked like, the walk you took at night. All those things are nice. But the report back is about the work of the conference and what happened there. And to answer questions, because, you know, some people have questions. Why did the vote go that way? Or what did the discussion go? Most delegates take notes. Most delegates keep track of the votes. The advisory action list does not show the vote. It just is a list of things that received two-thirds votes. But most delegates in their notebook, in their conference binder, will keep track of the first vote, the second vote, you know, when did it get, you know, because there are items at the General Service Conference that get a majority vote that do not become advisory actions. They do not get two-thirds, they get a majority, and therefore, they're not an additional consideration, and they're not an advisory action. They're just something. Now, the service manual says they should be a suggestion to the General Service Board. But that practice has been long lost. If it doesn't make it as an advisory action, I have not seen it make it as a suggestion to the General Service Board. Next week, we're going to go really into detail about conference committees. I might have the background next week. Who knows? But I have the final conference agenda, and I'll walk through how those conference committees work, what it's like to get that background, what it's like to read through it, who puts the background together, how does that get done, how does something make it into background? All great questions that people have a lot of questions about. So I know there's a ton of questions in here already, and I'm going to start going through a couple of them.
And as you're looking, Billy, I want you to be mindful that we do have a Spanish-speaking member from the community that I have made a little note in there in your chat to you.
Okay, thank you. What's the difference between an advisory action and a recommendation? A recommendation is that a committee voted, and most committees work with two-thirds majority. Some do just majority vote. Most committees are two-thirds substantial unanimity. But a recommendation means the committee recommended it to go to the full floor of the General Service Conference. An advisory action means that two-thirds of the General Service Conference approved that recommendation. Are additional considerations discussed for each committee, or have the committee or have all the committee reports, recommendations, and votes for those recommendations completed before? So each recommendation is gone through and disposed of, either pass, fail, whatever. And then we get to questions on additional considerations. You mentioned both the chair and president of AAWS and AA Grapevine Corporations. Do they each have both the chair and president? Yes, they do. So if you're super into this kind of stuff, regarding the trustees in that corporation, the General Service Board of Alcoholics Anonymous, Inc., the chair of the General Service Board is also the president of that corporation. But that corporation does hardly any business, right? It's more of a parent company. AA World Services has a chair and a vice chair and a president. The president is the general manager of GSO. The chair is a trustee, and the vice chair is a trustee. When we get to those corporations, I'm going to walk through it slowly, but we rotate every year between regional trustee and general service trustee as chair of AAWS. Going back, you know, it's kind of a, you know, sometimes if you saw my plaque on the wall from AAWS, it says I served as a director, a trustee, and chair twice. So it's very unusual to chair AAWS twice, which I have. And that happened because of a change in the New York nonprofit law. There used to not be a vice chair of AAWS. There used to be this, the chair, the president, vice president, secretary, treasurer. There was a problem with a nonprofit in New York about 15 years ago. And not a good problem, like one of those problems you would hope never happens. The state of New York made a change to the Nonprofit Act, which said that an employee is never allowed to be chair of a nonprofit corporation. At that time, the AAWS bylaws said that if the chair was incapacitated or for some reason couldn't serve, the president would serve as the chair. So we had to change our bylaws to meet the New York nonprofit law. We created the vice chair position. the year after I was chair, I was vice chair. And Joe D from Canada, a really, really good friend of mine, unfortunately passed away that December. And so then I became chair. At the Grapevine, same thing, nonprofit corporation in New York. They have a chair and a vice chair. The president is the executive editor and publisher. We try to make it just like the outside world, that the president should be the chief executive officer, the employee that all other employees report to. Now you'll notice, except in very extreme, limited legal situations, you will never see Bob W.'s name with the name president under it. It will always say general manager. And you will not see Chris C.'s name say president of the Grapevine. It'll say executive editor and publisher. On certain legal documents, we have to use the term president because we have to operate in the real world. Let me go back to questions. The review resumes and review slates items under the trustees header, are they simply reviewing what has already been determined by the conference? And has slates or the candidates ever been disqualified as a result of these reviews? That's for the trustees conference committee to review. 99% of the time, they approve the whole slate. Every once in a while, there might be difficulty with someone on that slate that the conference trustees committee or the full conference has a problem with. Just 2 years ago, there was a big blow up at the conference because somebody on the slate of AA World Services, their name was not put forward by the conference committee for whatever reason. So yes, it is review. And most of the time, remember where those names come from. The regional trustee names come from their area that nominated them. We'll get to that in a later chapter. The candidates for non-trustee director have all been vetted and interviewed by the trustees and the AAWS or AA Grapevine nominating committee. How do conference committees decide what items get recommended and what doesn't? What are the criteria for making those decisions? Why doesn't every item get to the floor for discussion and a vote? Great questions. Well, if something fails on a recommendation vote in the conference committee, we have a simple, nice term we use, which is just took no action. We're not taking any action. We don't say it was a horrible idea. We don't say anything like that. We just say we took no action. If we're instructing the trustees to do something, it has to be an advisory action. If you remember the manuscript litigation a couple of years ago, there was a motion to censure the General Service Board. That motion did not come out of committee, so they took no action. But there is one long additional consideration, basically where the committee says, we didn't censure you, but don't do this again. And if you do this again, be more transparent. So that's really the difference between those.
Billy Amalia's hands up.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Am I unmuting her?
No, she looks like she's unmuted.
Okay. Go ahead, Amalia. Is she in the wrong room?
Maybe, possibly. Let's take a look. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Go ahead with what you have and I'll try to figure it out when she comes in. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because I have a million questions. Do you have any examples of advisory actions or recommendations or suggestions that were not passed that come back year after year until they are accepted and passed? I was thinking AA evolves and changes that different issues take on new meetings. Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I once heard Jim Estelle, I say his last name because he's a trustee emeritus, past chair of the General Service Board, a legend in Alcoholics Anonymous. He was in charge of the Texas prison system at one time. He said AA might be the greatest self-correcting organization in the world. And so if you read our history of the advisory actions, you could call us either, I don't know, finicky, schizophrenic. You could come up with a whole bunch of words, but we change our minds. We deal with things again. I want to see if I can find something just for the new people who are in here. I just want to show you a document. So that you can see it, General Service Conference. So the first thing I would show you is this. This is what I tell every delegate to rip out of their book or print off their iPad and make sure is next to you when you're sitting at the conference. This is what I think every assembly should have. Not complicated handbooks or guidelines. Like just something simple that you give to the GSR to tell you how it works. This is what we use at the General Service Conference. The other thing I want to show you is, I just want to show you some things that maybe some of you don't see. Let's see. It's opening, just give it 1 second. If there's anyone who's a new GSR or new to service, this is what a conference report looks like. This is what goes out every August. And you go right through there and a table of contents talks about the conference, keynote addresses there. That picture is there because that's Michelle Grinberg, a non-alcoholic chair of the General Service Board, so her picture can be in there. Trustees, committees, and reports. So that is what the conference report looks like. And we do it electronic now since about 2014 or 15. The other thing I want to show you is... If you're really into the advisory actions and you're really into our history, this is a book called The Advisory Actions of the General Service Conference of Alcoholics Anonymous. Get the searchable PDF from your delegate because I find it the best because you can go in and search and see what's been discussed before or a topic that came up or just do a word search. And it goes by committee or category and floor actions. And I tell anybody that's looking at background this year, here's what I would tell you. Take a look at this book and see what that committee has done for the last 5 years. So you know what got us to today. What's been going on in that committee leading up to now? This book would tell you that. Let me just get rid of that then. Are we solved with our problem with Amalia? Can we hear her now?
No, I don't know how that works because I thought she could unmute. There she is.
Amalia, can you talk? Okay. I can't hear Amalia.
I just heard her. She said, we need to choose English. Let me check that. Okay, how about now, Amalia?
I can't hear her.
Okay. So, Billy, if you can go to the interpretation globe that's on your device and choose English, it's probably set to off. You should be able to hear her if you set it to English.
What do I have to do? What do I have to change it to? I go to language interpretation.
You English.
Yeah. I go to English. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
We're learning together.
Amalia? It's been a long time since we crossed paths. Good to hear you. Oh, no, we already, that person gets 2 minutes to speak, and then you can translate for everyone else. Okay.
And just so you know, Amalia, I have ESP in front of her name, so it should be easier to find her. Perfect. Everybody that's asking that they can't hear us right now, bear with us. We have a Spanish-speaking member that is needing assistance with a question. Thank you.
Or if Amalia can send it in chat to me once she hears the question, that's fine too. And then she can translate it back. I figured. That's all right. No, I know. Do you know the question? Okay. Okay. Thank you.
So just say to both of you that the person raised their hand and I communicated with them in the chat with my very minimal Spanish. And I think they were just wanting to identify based on the directions we gave in the chat so I could identify them that they needed Spanish.
Thank you.
Everybody
out there can hear me now, right? Excellent. All right. There was a question about an example of something that comes back and forth. I think the one I like to talk about most is I think in the early 90s, a recommendation for something regarding atheists and non-believers was sent in. And that went back and forth for years. And then many paths to spirituality was passed. And then years later, is it the God Word pamphlet that we passed from the United Kingdom? So that's definitely one of the best examples of something that maybe it wasn't ready at the time. But let's face it, at my first General Service Conference, I wasn't allowed to have an electronic device on my table and no power to my table. That was a rule. I mean, AA evolves just like the rest of the world. Let's see. Can committee considerations be on the agenda for next year or in the future? If a committee consideration gets the trustees committees to work on something that needs to be conference approved, it would definitely go on the agenda. Can you remind us how on page 71, agenda item on changing the AA preamble got to the conference? The preamble change was sent in numerous times by numerous people, by numerous groups. It did go to the conference grapevine committee. It did not come out of committee. They took no action. A floor action was made, and the floor action was passed. I'm going to talk about floor actions after we talk about next week committee conferences, because it's important to understand the details of the conference committee before we start splitting hairs about floor actions. After a second vote, there would be no minority opinion given, since there is no possibility of additional discussion allowed. Correct? Absolutely true. Once the second vote takes place, no minority opinion. What's the difference between a chair and a president in this context? Well, the president cannot chair a meeting of the board of directors. That's the biggest difference. Only the chair or vice chair or somebody else elected that's not an employee could actually chair a meeting of the corporate board of AAWS, AA Grapevine, or the General Service Board. In most organizations and nonprofits, profits, the president is not a board position. It's an executive position carried out by usually the chief executive officer of that organization. Is it true that some of the trustee positions have become hard to fill? Not that I've been told. I have not been told that. Are the trustee emeritus allowed to attend the General Service Board meeting after the conference? Great question. Trustee emeriti are also invited to the board weekends, but they are not allowed to attend executive session of the board unless there is a motion made and seconded and passed, because they are not a voting member of the board. But yes, they do attend the board meeting. You mentioned the visitors section at Sunday afternoon board meeting. Does anyone other than that rotated out trustees sit there? Well, the visitors section that's Saturday after the brunch. You might have some GSO staff there. They're not members of the board. You might have some executive assistants or administrative assistants there. You might have the GSO archivist or publications director there. Can non-agenda items be introduced as floor motions at any point during the conference? Yes. I'm really going to get to that next week, but yes. You can submit a floor action at any break in the conference. You go up to the microphone, you stand and wait to be recognized. You say, my name's Billy, I'm a panel 49 delegate from Area 19, Chicago, and I have a floor action to submit. I have to have it in writing already, and I walk it up to the secretary of the conference, who is the GSO staff secretary for the conference coordinator, and I hand it in. However, if I were to make a floor action that was not reported back by the committee yet, that's an agenda item, that floor action would not be accepted. So I just want to clarify. The committee recommendations come back Tuesday night, Wednesday. By that time, I know what the committees did. If I don't like something a committee did, I could submit a floor action. Maybe I probably don't like something they didn't do, probably is more like it. However, prior to that point, if I were to submit a floor action for like the same thing as literature committee item B, I would be called out of order. The committee gets to deal with it first. Let's see. I'm a new DCM in my area. We got the 5 pages of agenda over 3 weeks ago. Just notified that the delegate has and is working towards dispersing 1,081 pages of background. Seems like an insurmountable amount of information to digest and understand in 6 weeks. Help. That's a great question. And obviously, we have to work on some kind of streamlined process. But as the agenda grows, the background grows. And I don't think the staff is trying to hide anything in the background. But I can tell you that people complain all the time that something didn't go in the background. So I'm going to talk about it next week, how they're supposed to scour all over all the servers at GSO, all the archives, all the prior trustee committee meetings, all the prior conference reports, and find anything to do with that item and include it as background. What I would do if I was this person who asked this question, go through the agenda and pick out like your top 10 from all committees that you think your group would really be interested. You have to trust your delegate to have write a decision about a lot of things. But pick out the ones that you really think hit home on the firing line of your home group. And once you select them, ignore all the other background material for a while from all the other items and get it down so that you're only reading the background for those 8 or 10 items and become very familiar with it. So. Where can I find a PDF for that report? I would check with your delegate if you're talking about the history of advisory actions. How can I get a hold of history of advisory actions? I would check with your delegate, or I would go on the GSO website. There is a book they publish. I got a note from Amalia. Please choose English and you'll hear me. All right, Amalia, hold on. I got to go out for my original meeting settings. Amalia, can you hear me? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, are alternate delegates fully informed and prepared in case they have to attend the conference? If not, how do they prepare? I hope so. You're looking at someone whose whole history as an alternate delegate was 6 weeks. 6 long weeks. I think last weekend they had the delegates, past delegates in the East Central region. Yes, I'm looking at someone who's shaking his head. Yes. I went to that. And when I got home Sunday, I got a message that the delegate passed away of a heart attack when he got home that day. Every alternate delegate should be prepared, especially this year. I mean, I don't know, a sponsor, I was looking at a delegate who sent me something the other day. I mean, who can go this year? I mean, here's what it says. Now, I'm not taking a position on vaccines, and I'm not taking a position on COVID. I'm just reading you a letter. This is what the memorandum to the conference delegates for this year says from the general manager and chair of the General Service Board and conference chair. Will I need to be vaccinated to participate in the General Service Conference? Yes. A key to New York City vaccination requirement became effective in August 2021. It requires proof of vaccination for patrons and employees of the city's indoor dining, fitness, and entertainment venues. Accordingly, the hotel where the General Service Conference is being held has implemented these safety guidelines, including proof of vaccination for all hotel patrons. So that's something we never had to deal with before. And I have no opinion on, it's not my business in AA to have an opinion on any of that. But the only people who get to go to this year's conference are those who are vaccinated. It even says, I have a religious exception. And then it says, religious exceptions do not apply in New York City, period. Every alternate delegate should be prepared. Every single one. We have times every once in a while a delegate and alternate delegate don't get along, but that's the rarity. They should be a team and a partnership. And I will tell you this, you know, as somebody who served as an alternate delegate, the alternate delegates who get a lot of time to prepare are the rare breed. I'm in like 20% have more than 2 or 3 months to prepare. Most alternate delegates who go to the conference, it's something that happened a week or two before the conference that is preventing that delegate from going to the conference. So it's not time to start reading 1,081 pages 2 weeks before the General Service Conference. You have to be preparing like you should be going. And the other thing is, then the alternate delegate can also help the delegate fielding questions and talking to districts and DCMs and GSRs. Our area distinguishes between agenda items, which start with review, discuss, and consider. And traditionally, we only discuss the consider items. Do other items do this as well? Do other areas do this as well? Some do. I'm going to get to that in committee conference reports. But yes, we love certain words at GSL, right? We have our own kind of slang for sure. I even sent a note to somebody today and I wrote COL. I meant to write CAL, which the trustees use all the time as conference approved literature. I mean, it's just second nature to me. CAL, doesn't everyone know what that is? Just want to make sure that the words review, discuss, and consider, there's no law that everything has to start with them, but it does seem we're in love with those words. And it's kind of help, and I'm going to talk about this next week. The conference committee is an autonomous AA service body. It does not answer to anyone else when it meets on that Monday and Tuesday. If somebody only wanted them to review something and they decided to take action, that's their right. If the conference committee wanted to pass something of new business that wasn't even on their agenda, they are allowed to. And that's not a floor action. People say, well, Billy, give me an example. Okay, I'll give you an example. We refused. Maybe refused is a strong word, but I felt we could have done a better job. We didn't translate anything into Spanish. Not even like the agendas. Not even like the history and background of the conference committee, which we already know exists a year in advance. I know it's hard to do the background material in that short a time, but many felt we could have done a better job. And what happened about, I don't know, 1, 5, 7, or 8 years ago? A Spanish-speaking member of AA wound up on the finance committee. And what did the finance committee do? They came out and had a recommendation that conference background was going to be translated into all three languages. And some people said, well, you can't do that. It's not under your jurisdiction. And they said, well, you keep telling us it's too expensive. We've reviewed the budget. We think we can find that money. We could not spend it on something else. So, but I'm going to get into, those are some real finite details of how conference committees work with the background and everything else and floor actions and how it actually gets written, what happens to it for when it leaves the conference committee room, where does the staff member take the action, what happens to it in the workroom, then it comes. So I'm going to go through all that next week. With being a panelist for NARASA, how will that affect the delegate attending the General Service Conference? I look forward to meeting you at NARASA. I'm not sure if that's a question, but I think we are good. It's 9:30. We're going to get into many more details about conference committee next week. It probably is a good time that we're going over this now while the conference is 2 or 3 months away. Everybody gets a handle on really what's going on. Sorry it went long tonight, but they only have a couple of pages in the book, and I just felt it was important to really walk you through the week. Like, what is your delegate up to? I mean, I'm not telling stories. Look at the final conference report. The General Service Conference in person costs like $600,000. $600,000. So what does go on there those 7 days or 6 days? And I wanted to make sure that we walked through everything. So after a moment of silence.
Hey, Billy, before you do that, you want to just real quick call out Margarita. Let's just make sure that there wasn't a question because she's still here. So Margarita is her name. If she's still here, yeah, maybe.
I'm gonna go into that channel right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hold
on. She's from Utah. Margarita is her name.
Okay.
Area 69.
Amalia, can you hear me? Amalia, I just went in the Spanish channel. Can you hear me? No.
Stay on the English channel. Just make sure the English is on, Billy.
Amalia, can you hear me? Okay.
And we don't have any, I have no response. I also sent Spanish in the chat. So I just wanted to make sure we checked that both verbally.
Okay. No problem.
In the chat. Thank you, Billy. People are asking what's the work for next week, by the way, the chapter that you want.
Well, we're going through the conference, the conference committees, chapter 7. So after a moment of silence, we'll close with the responsibility statement. Thank you, Luciana and Amalia, for interpreting tonight. Thanks, Dee, for hosting. I am responsible when anyone anywhere reaches out for help. I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. Thanks, everyone. Have a great night. See you next week.